Welcome to the Birmingham Vineyard podcast. We hope you find it insightful and encouraging.
If you want to find out more about us, head to our website, birminghamvineyard.com.
Well, good morning, everyone. You know, the first rule of having a successful sermon, do you know what the first rule of a successful sermon is? If you can say that out loud, to bribe your audience. So what we're going to do, we brought up some toffees. They are chewy toffees. Birmingham Vineyard take no legal responsibility for any teeth incidents, any blood sugar incidents. So pass those toffees along. If you're not up for a toffee, don't worry. And feel free to chew along. We will come back to the toffees as we go this morning. There you are, guys. Keep them passing along. Now, did anybody like me grow up going to church? And you may have grown up going to church youth groups. And when you went to church youth groups, did anybody ever play the game sword drill? Anybody ever play the game? Andrew, you played the game sword drill. Yeah, this is a game for shy, retiring people. So let's have a go this morning. Ian Dougal, you're a shy and retiring person. Why don't you come up? Cap, why don't you come up? And we, yeah, another shy person. Actually, where's Narek? Is Narek? Narek, you're shy. Come up the front. Yeah. So we need sword drill. There is a prize, yet stand facing the audience. You get a whole bag of toffees, no expense spared. So you need a Bible each. Hold your Bible. This is a test now. No shame. You will not, Andrew's not testing you. You will not lose your job if you lose in this game. So no looking up in advance. So everyone should have their Bible closed if you're playing sword drill. If you're watching along at home, you can play along too. And then the leader holds up his Bible and says, "Swords ready." And when I say swords ready, you're going to lift your Bible closed, holding the spine. And then I'm going to say a book, a chapter, and a verse. And you're going to repeat that back to me just so I know you know where you're looking for. Yeah. And if you've memorized that verse, you're a show-off and get lost. Don't do it. You've got to... And then I'm going to say, ready and go. And you've got to look at that verse and then read it out. And the first one to read it out is the winner. Feel free to cheer along and then read it out loud. So, no shame. Are you ready? This is a safe place. No shame. Swords ready. Here we go then. Psalm 190. No. Come on, back up now. Come on, swords ready. Repeat after me, Psalm 119:11. Ready, go! There was definitely cheating, there was a false start there, come on. Who's going to win?
Oh, no.
I have stood upon your word in my heart, and I'm not sitting against you.
Cap, you're the winner, well done. Hey. Yeah, I'll have the Bibles back. Yeah. We need to pick bigger words for tonight. We can have a referee's recount afterwards. Yeah. We'll have the lights turned up later on. Yeah. If anybody's got a large print Bible, bring it along for tonight's talk. Today, we're starting a new three-week series called Formation. And we're exploring together how our daily spiritual practices can help form us into the type of people who can stand firm in the trials and temptations of life. You know, one of the most successful books of recent years is a book called Atomic Habits. It's by an author called James Clear. Has anybody read the book or heard an interview or a talk with James Clear? Now, it's in the genre of probably self-improvement, but it has great wisdom as we embark on this formation journey and explore these foundational spiritual practices. Because James Clear writes all about how our habits shape us, how our habits make a big difference, and how we're to focus on building systems in our lives. And I love what he says. He says, we need to build identity-based habits that reflect our new identity. So I put some of my favourite quotes from James Clear on the slide. Let's just read you the first one. Every action you take is a vote for the person you wish to become. Every action you take is a vote for the person you wish to become. Now, here at Birmingham Vineyard, we often talk about the big three. And I'd encourage you during this series to grab a copy of the Big Three or download it from the website and reread it, because it provides a clear and simple way of learning from and following Jesus each day, wherever you are on your spiritual journey. And the Big Three are to read and listen, to pray your thoughts, and to guard your heart. Now, we don't want this series to be a guilt trip, making us feel rubbish about the things we don't do. Because I'm sure I'm not the only one who've had lots of ups and downs, and probably a lot of downs in terms of my spiritual practices. The spiritual practices we're looking at in this series are opportunities, not obligations. And I just want to pause there, because I think for some of us today and this series, God wants to reframe your thinking in terms of opportunities rather than obligations. There is a chance to connect with Jesus, to receive his power, and to do life, learn to do life with him. You know, when you phone a close family member or a friend, you don't say, "Hello, this is Adam," especially if your name's not Adam. But what do we often say? We say, "Hello, it's me." And the person recognizes our voice because we've spent time together. We've communicated with one another. They've been a key part of our life. And this is the kind of relationship we want to learn to develop with Jesus through the practices in this series. And our formation series is grounded in the book of Ephesians, and particularly in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. So let's read it. It says this: "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all of the Lord's people." So today I'm going to be talking about taking up your sword from verse 17 and the importance of being grounded in the truth and having a regular practice of engaging with the Bible. But as this is the first talk in the series, I want to give us some foundational principles. So I want to look at three things. Firstly, our strength, then our struggle, and finally, our sword. Now, let's be honest with each other. Reading the Bible is often hard. Why don't you just for 30 seconds turn to the person next to you and tell them what you find hard about reading the Bible regularly? 30 seconds just to each other. Okay, let's come back together. And let's start by looking at our strength. So Paul is starting his final words of this letter to the church at Ephesus. And he says this: "Finally, be strong," or "be strengthened in the Lord and in his mighty power. Let's have the next slide up. Does anybody know who that is? Yep, it's Eddie the Beast Hall from Stoke-on-Trent, and in 2017, the world's strongest man. Every Christmas since childhood, anybody like me, I love watching World's Strongest Man. And these are the strongest men on earth. But God wants us, our strength, to be found in him and his power, which is far stronger than any strong man could ever be. And this verse is not the equivalent of Paul saying, toughen up, man up, woman up, because he's saying, be strengthened by God and by his power, which in Ephesians chapter 1, he said, is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead and is now available to each one of us. Even though it's God who strengthens us, this verse does imply some action on our behalf. We're to seek God and to present ourselves to him every day, fulfilling with his power. And today, you may feel tired, weak, empty, depleted. And your next step may be this morning to ask somebody to pray for you so you are strengthened by God and fill you with the power of his Holy Spirit. And how does Paul say we gain strength and spiritual power from Jesus? Well, in verses 11 and 13, he says, put on the full armor of God. The Good News Translation says in verse 13, so put on God's armor now. We must put on God's armor and never take it off. In one sense, we put it on and we keep putting it on as a daily habit. Have you put on your armor today? The full armor, not just a couple of pieces. Because putting on the full armor of God is about putting on our new identity in Christ and living a life that flows from that identity. And you might think, what do you mean, Adam, about our new identity in Christ? Well, if you go back in Ephesians to the beginning, Paul says things like this. You're a saint. You're an adopted child of Father God. You have been set free by Jesus. You have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. Here's a spiritual practice. I know we're going to talk about prayer next week, but a spiritual gym exercise for you to be strengthened in the Lord. It's called imaginative prayer. And Greg Boyd says this, set aside times when you drink deeply from the infinite reservoir of God's love. Relying on the Holy Spirit, imagine Jesus expressing to you all the things Scripture says about you because of your identity in him. So that's our strength. Let's have the next slide, our struggle. Verse 12 says this, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. As a kid, I used to love watching wrestling. I went to watch wrestling. I even met Big Daddy. Anybody remember Big Daddy? Yeah, I used to collect wrestling videos. Remember what a video was? I even had a collection of Japanese women's wrestling, but enough about that. And even though I'm a committed pacifist, I'm a bit of a fan of the UFC these days. And this is a guy called Khabib Nurmagomedov. And Khabib was the former UFC lightweight champion. And he was one of the best wrestlers in the world. And when Khabib fights, he would take his opponent down and he would keep them down and just maul them on the ground. And the Greek word translated here as struggle is a wrestling term. It means throwing down your adversary and keeping them pinned to the ground. It was a common word that the Ephesians would have been used to because of their inscriptions, and the sport of wrestling was a part of the Ephesian games. And actually, as you read the book of Ephesus, if Ephesus was famous for its worship of Artemis and the magical arts, and they had something called the Ephesian letters. And these were six magical terms which they believed would give them power and would ward off evil spirits. and people used them as like spoken charms or used to wear them as jewelry to get power over from and protection from harm. And there's a story about an Ephesian wrestler who would participate in the games, and he was unbeatable because he wore these Ephesian letters on his ankles. And then the officials discovered that he was wearing this, forced him to take them off, and then he lost 30 matches in a row. And the Ephesians would have had this story in their mind when they read Paul's letter. And Paul was telling them to put off the things they trust in, like magic, and put on the armor of God. And wrestling is the closest form of combat. It's a face-to-face encounter. A few years ago, a friend of mine who teaches wrestling invited me to a class he was teaching. And after the class, I remember I was in the taxi coming home, and I smelt my arm, and I could smell the sweat of the guy I'd been wrestling against. Oh, it was gross. We're all involved in a fight. We're all involved in a struggle. The person next to you right now is involved in struggle in their life. And the nature of the struggle depends on the circumstances. For you, it may be a situation of temptation. Maybe it's a habit or an addiction. Maybe it's crippling stress or anxiety. And today, your next step may be to share that struggle with someone so they can pray for you and support you. And what does Paul say? Paul says that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Our fight is not against each other. We are not called to fight people. We are called to love them. Don't we need that message at the moment? Today, God might be saying to you, stop fighting people. Greg Boyd says this, from a kingdom perspective, if it's got flesh and blood, if it's human, it's not our enemy. To the contrary, if it's got flesh and blood, it's somebody we're commanded to love, and thus someone we're to be fighting for, even if they regard us as their enemy. Paul says our real battle is against spiritual forces. Now, there's been lots of debate about what he means by principalities and powers and the nature of spiritual warfare in Ephesians 6, and I don't want to get into that this morning, although two quick things. Words like principalities and powers and thrones are used both of human rulers and also of the spiritual forces behind them. But secondly, we are to focus on the King and his kingdom. And we get on with doing the kingdom stuff. David Devenish said, our call is to do the works of the kingdom, healing the sick, bringing good news to the poor, and casting out demons. So we've seen our strength is in God and not in our strongman muscles. And our struggle is against spiritual forces, not against people. So it's time to take up, thirdly, our sword. Next slide, verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, the sword here refers to a short sword, a bit longer than my ruler, which a Roman soldier would use in close combat. And it was both used for attack and for defense. Hebrews chapter 4 says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And while Paul says the sword of the Spirit is the word of God, what's the word of God? Well, primarily, it's the good news of Jesus. But broader than that, it's the application of the Bible to every situation of testing or temptation. And the Bible is God's story and is the primary way through which he reveals himself to us today. Actually, let me give you, this is worth writing down, a definition of the Bible. The Bible is a library of writings which are both human and divine that tell a unified story leading to Jesus. The Bible is a library of writings which are both human and divine that tell a unified story leading to Jesus. Or to put it in Paul's words from 2 Timothy, from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that all God's people may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the sword of the Spirit, then, is using the Bible against the enemy when we're under attack. But our spiritual battle, where does our spiritual battle primarily take place? In our minds. We therefore need to fill our minds with the truth of God's word. So when the enemy attacks us by temptation or doubt, we can remind ourselves of God's word. That's why I chose for our sword drill, I have hidden your word within my heart that I might not sin against you. Or later on in that same psalm, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The best example of the sword of the Spirit in action comes from Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was tempted. And Jesus uses God's word to counter the temptation of the devil, who was trying to get Jesus to fall into sin and disobedience. And Jesus, like all good Jewish boys of his day, would have had lots of the Old Testament memorized. And Jesus was able to speak the truth of God's word, primarily probably to himself, and say true to his vocation. You know, for me, when I've gone through times of grief and pain and loss, I found those words in Revelation 21 so helpful. There'll be a new heavens and a new earth where there'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, that I am making all things new. I don't know about you. Have you got any of the Bible memorized today? I'd love to memorize a whole chapter. When Helen and I were at university, we memorized Psalm 23 together. And actually, you've probably got more memorized than you think through the songs we sing together. So how do we take up our sword? How do we get the Bible in our mind so we can use it as a sword? Well, memorization is one thing. What about reading it? Read it regularly. Read it at different speeds. Read it some bit slowly. And then some, read bigger bits faster. Read alone. Read with your small group. And one of the best ways to fill our minds with the Bible is to meditate on it. To meditate is active pondering. It's formative reading, not informative reading. It's about formation, not information. It's like chewing a toffee. Slowly, deliberately, savoring the flavor. It's about getting God's word from our heads to our hearts. I'm a head person. I'm an information person. But I also need to be a heart person, a formation person. Joshua 1 says, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you'll be sure to obey everything written on it. So, five practical pointers. Let's have the next slide. Have a go, whether you're reading a digital version or a paper version, of underlining or highlighting key bits of the Bible. Then from time to time, go back and review the things you've highlighted to see what God's been saying to you. What about putting it into your own words? Read a bit of the Bible, then just write it back out in your own words. Ask questions of the Bible. Here are some good questions to start with. What type of writing is this? What do the words mean? What is the plain and natural meaning? What's the historical context? I've talked a bit about what was going on in Ephesus at the time. What was going on at the time of the writing? Where does this come in the big story of the Bible? And how does it point towards Jesus? And try and capture the big idea. What's the big idea in this verse or this chapter? And then personalize the meaning. How could my life be different today as I respond to what I'm reading? And that's when we start to pray, read the Bible. Like the Psalms are a great vehicle for this as we read through and we personalize it and it moves us into prayer. And here's an atomic habits challenge. Let's get back to James Clear. This week, what about a 5x5 challenge? Have a go at reading the Bible 5 days this week for 5 minutes. Perhaps have a go at one chapter per day. Find a regular time and a place to do it. If you don't know where to start with the gospel, and maybe the gospel of Mark. Don't just read your favorite bits. And there are some great reading plans on the app, such as the Bible app or Bible Gateway. And as you sit down, just pray and ask the Holy Spirit to encounter you as you read. And remember, Jesus is the key to understanding the whole Bible. We need to finish. So let me take you back to the Old Testament to finish. And the story of King David. And if you read the story of King David, you'll see that in 2 Samuel, he had three mighty warriors, one of whom was called Eleazar. And in 2 Samuel 23, it says this: next to him was Eleazar, son of Dodai the Athoite, who was one of the three mighty warriors. He was with David when they taunted the Philistines gathered at Pastamin for battle. Then the Israelites retreated, but Eleazar stood his ground and struck down the Philistines till his hand grew tired and froze to the sword. The Lord brought about great victory that day. Eleazar was a mighty warrior who stood his ground and whose hand literally froze to his sword. Today, God wants each one of us to be his mighty warriors, to stand our ground with the sword of the Spirit always in our hands. Now, what are we about? Well, Poi said earlier, we're about following Jesus. And Christianity is ultimately not about a book, but about a person, Jesus, who is the Word of God made flesh. We believe that Jesus is the only authentic, true, and complete reflection of God. And it's Jesus that is our guide and our primary lens through which we read and understand the Bible. So today, Jesus is calling us to a sword drill, to take up our swords, to fight for people, and to be formed into his likeness as people of his kingdom. Let's stand.
We hope you enjoyed the talk and found it helpful.
We'd love to welcome you to one of our gatherings. We meet in multiple locations at multiple times on Sundays, as well as in midweek small groups across the city. More information on all of these can be found at our website, birminghamvineyard.com.
Thanks for listening. Have a great day and God bless.